All right, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So what I wanted to focus on a little bit today is, although this is a shiur on Sefer Tehillim, but it's hard for us to ignore when auspicious dates coincide with the timing of this particular shiur. And so I wanted to focus a little bit today on Lag BaOmer. You know, there are certain days in the Judaic calendar that we're all familiar with, and we're familiar with the fact that they are Yamim Tovim, they're celebratory days in some way, shape, or form, but we're often, no matter how old or how young we are, we're often hard-pressed to actually articulate what is it that is special about these particular days. And I've always felt that Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the Omer, is one of those days, where, of course, we automatically associate it with celebration. We automatically associate it, again, with cessation of mourning practices. And we'll see that there are many celebratory tones to it. But yet, again, very often when we articulate the reasons that we associate for the happiness, we find ourselves a little bit lacking. So I'd like to try to explore today a little bit about what is the nature of the celebratory tone, what is the nature of the simcha of Lag BaOmer. So we're going to begin with a statement in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, excuse me, Noagin shlo v'estap ar la migil ba'omer. The minog is that we do not go ahead and take haircuts until the 33rd day of the Omer. And again, it's important to understand that the morning practices of Sfiras HaOmer are minhagim. They are absolutely customs. They are not halachically mandated. Now, of course, we know that minhag Yisrael, minhagim that are part of the very fabric of our people, have an incredible importance. One should not simply flaunt them, or one should not go ahead and simply disparage them or not observe them. But at the end of the day, it is a minhag. But the minhag is that we do not take haircuts until the 33rd day of the Omer. Why? Why the 30? So again, we understand where the mourning practices of Sfira originate with. Where do they originate from? Good. If you skip down for just a moment. I'm sorry?
I couldn't hear what they said.
Because I didn't say it yet. You just said, I know, but then I wouldn't have a job if they all got the answers. So look at number four. So the Gemara Masechet, don't be sorry, I'm just kidding with you. So the Gemara Masechet Sivamo says the following. So take a look, by letter Aleph, Rabbi Kiva Omer, this is actually a very beautiful Gemara on many different fronts. The Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lama Torah bialduso, yilma Torah bizignuso. If a person learned Torah in his youth, a person should still learn Torah in his old age. Hayulo talmidim bialduso, yilo talmidim bizignuso. If a person ultimately establishes students in his young age, he should establish students even in his elder years as well. Shene emar, baboker zara es zarecha. And the end of the pasuk is ula erev al tanach yadecha. In the morning, you shall sow your seeds, and in the evening, you shall not withdraw your hand. Now, what this pasuk highlights is something very important that Rabbi Akiva is saying, which is, in life, you must always endeavor and strive to accomplish. Because at the end of the day, you never know which accomplishments will endure and which will not. So the good thing is, if you accomplish in your youth and you accomplish in your old age, chances are something will endure. You know, the klal gadol in life, the very important principle in life, is no one is successful in everything. And no one has hatzlach in every area of life. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, the more you try, the more you do, the more you accomplish, the more chances you have that something will endure. And Rabbi Akiva actually talks about this in three different areas. Rabbi Akiva talks about it again in the realm of Talmud Torah, learning. Always learn. Sometimes what you learn in your youth will endure. Something what you learn in your old age will endure. Students, established students. Sometimes what you go ahead and do in your youth will endure. The students you establish, sometimes the ones you establish in your old age. And he says, I didn't quote it over in the Gemara, but he also says it in the realm of marriage and having children. He says that at the end of the day, he says, have children in your youth, have children in your old age. This was the days before day school tuitions. So go ahead, right? Go ahead and have children, stay different stages of life. If a person, you know, merits a marriage in their old age, in their youth, but that marriage doesn't work out for whatever the reason, a person should endeavor to have a relationship in their old age as well. Because in life, you never know what endures and what doesn't. Therefore, a person should always apply themselves to accomplishing and doing. And the Gemara says, lest you think that for Rabbi Akiva, he's just talking in theoretics. The Gemara says, Amru shneim asar elef zugi tamidim hayulo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students, 24,000 students. Mikavas Adan Tipris, literally from one end of Eretz Yisrael all the way to the other. Vikulan Mesu Beperek Echad. They all died at the same time. Mepnei Shelo Nagu Kavod Zelazeh. We'll discuss this later on. Because they did not act properly to one another. Vahaya Ha'olam Shamein. And the world was desolate. The world was empty. You have to understand something. That the death of 20 Rabbi Akiva's students were the cream of the crop of Talmidei Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva's students were the future Jewish leadership. Can you imagine again, all future Jewish leadership wiped out at once? There's an existential threat to the Jewish people. What's going to be? What's going to be in the future? Ad Shebar Rabbi Akiva etz Rabbeinu Shebedarom. And so Rabbi Akiva went to the rabbis in the south. V'shana lahem. In other words, Rabbi Akiva, after the staggering loss of 24,000 students, and remember, this story is even more acute, because Rabbi Akiva is what we'd call a late bloomer. Right, Rabbi Akiva, remember, again begins to learn Torah only at the age of 40, accomplishes incredible, magnificent feats, builds up a Torah empire, only to lose it all. He loses everything. But what does he do? He picks himself back up. He establishes new Talmidim, new students by the names of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, Veheim Heim Ha'emidu Torah Osa Shah. And it was from these five students that the Torah world regenerated itself. It was from these five students that once again Rabbi Akiva built up Torah within Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says, Osa Shah, sorry, Tana, Kulam Misu Mipesach Va'adat Zeres. And the Gemara says, when did this catastrophic event occur? When did this tragic event occur? The loss of these 24,000 students. It happened between Pesach and Shavuos. Now go back up to number one. So the Shulchan Aruch now says that therefore we observe mourning practices from the beginning of the Omer up until Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day. Why? What happened on the 33rd day? Sha'omrim Sha'az Pasku Lamos. Because the Masorah, the tradition we have, is that the students of Rabbi Akiva didn't die the entire time between Pesach and Shavuos, but they died, I'm not sure, the Gemara doesn't exactly say when the beginning time was, but the Gemara calls it Pesach, that means during Pesach, right after Pesach, whatever it means, Pesach, but they ultimately, they stopped dying, which when we say they stopped dying, it means they all died, meaning that the last of the 24,000 died by the 33rd day of the Omer. Therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, therefore on the 33rd day of the Omer, we suspend all mourning practices. And if you look at number two, writes the Meiri, Kabbalah, actually, before we do that, skip down, go to number one just a little bit more. So the Shulchan Aruch now goes into some of the details in terms of when you could take haircut on Lag BaOmer. That's not important for us today. But skip down to the middle of the second line, Hagah, Umamedinos Elu Einogin Kidvarav, Elam Starpim Yav Lag BaOmer, Umarbim bo kitsas simcha. So the Rama says, it's not just that on Lag BaOmer, the mourning practices of the Omer are suspended, but rather again, on Lag BaOmer itself, we actually celebrate. We actually celebrate. Marbim bo kitsas simcha, meaning, as Rabbi Nachman says, there's a mitzvah gedol lios besimcha tamid. We actually learned that piece in Rabbi Nachman. So you always will see besimcha, and on Lag BaOmer, we intensify our simcha a little bit more. Right, number two, the Meiri. Right, Kabbalah biyad geonim shebiyom lamed gimel omer pascha hamisa. So the Meiri writes, the tradition we have from the rabbis is that the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying by the 33rd day of the Omer. That's why our mourning practices are lifted, and that's why ultimately the day has a celebratory tone. In number three, the Pri Chadash, Rav Chizkiyo de Silva was an Italian commentator who lived from 1659 to only about 1700. He died a young man. See, wrote a commentary in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Pri Chadash writes, Yesh ledakdek besimcha zulama. I don't understand what's happening here, says the Pri Chadash. Let me get this straight. Rabbi, 24,000 of the most promising Torah scholars die within a very short amount of time. Yes, they stopped dying on the 33rd day of the Omer. Now, they stopped dying not because any were saved. They stopped dying because the plague had taken effect upon all 24,000. There was no one left to kill. There were no other students of Rabbi Akiva. So because it says the Pri Chadash, ve'imishum shepasku milamos, ma'bikach, haya lo nishar echad mehem, v'kula mesu, umaha siba shel simcha zu. So the Pri Chadash asks a very important question. What is going on over here? Because no one else died, i.e. because there were no other students to die anymore, because the Torah community was virtually wiped out, there was an existential threat to the Jewish people, That's a reason for simcha? Because the plague ended? Because, again, remember, which means that on the 20, historically, so 2,200 years ago, in times of Rabbi Akiva, what were they doing on the 33rd day of the Omer? What were they doing? They were probably burying the dead still. They were burying the dead. So the Prichadr says, I don't understand. Because the plague stopped, because no one else died, that's a reason for simcha? And the Prichadash gives an amazing answer. The Prichadash says, "V'lachim efshar shasimcha hi ala talmidim shahosef Rabbi Akiva acharkach shalomesu." The Prichadash gives a beautiful answer. The Prichadash says the celebration is not for the cessation of the plague. The celebration is not because no one else died. The celebration is why? Because Rabbi Akiva had the courage to establish 5 more talmidim. What we celebrate on Lag BaOmer is Rabbi Akiva's unbreakable resolve, Rabbi Akiva's unyielding nature. Anyone else, a catastrophe like this, remember, many of us get sidelined for much less. Rabbi Akiva lost his life's work. He lost everything. Besides, remember, this is already building on the huge sacrifices that Rabbi Akiva has made until this point. Rabbi Akiva's lost everything. By the way, just prior to this, you should know, lest you think Rabbi Akiva had a support network, Rabbi Akiva's spouse, Rachel, died already years before this. Rabbi Akiva's mamish alone in the world. Alone in the world. He has children, but his spouse is not there, his tamidim are not there, and yet, says the Prichadash, he had the courage to get up, to pull himself together, to rebuild, to begin to teach new tamidim. You know, to begin to teach Talmidim, in order to be able to inspire people, you have to be inspired yourself. The notion that Rabbi, so remember, to go ahead and give them over Gemara, I mean, anybody could do that, right? They could buy an art scroll, they could go online, right? You don't need Rabbi Akiva. What they needed Rabbi Akiva for, what you need a Rebbe for in general, is not knowledge. A person doesn't need a Rebbe for Chomer, for material. Material you can pick up anywhere you want. What a person needs a Rebbe for is for inspiration. A Rebbe is someone who speaks to my neshama, lifts me up. So the idea that Rabbi Akiva, despite everything he went through, could still be a Rebbe, could still go ahead and lift up Talmidim, is incredible. Says the Prichadash, that's what we celebrate on Lag BaOmer. So in this, yes.
Where were these 5 students while the plague was going? Were they just young?
They weren't students of Rabbi Akiva. Remember, the plague only impacted the students of Rabbi Akiva. So there were other Torah scholars. There were other Torah personalities around. They just, for whatever reason, were not learning under Rabbi Akiva. So actually, the Gemara says they were in the south. But their geographic location is irrelevant. The point is, they weren't learning under Rabbi Akiva. I'm sorry? They were adults, correct. Correct, but not students of Rabbi Akiva, hence they escaped the plague. So again, in this first approach, you really have 2 approaches as to understanding the simcha of Lag BaOmer. According to the most basic idea, which I think is the most basic idea that is understood by most, which is what the Shulchan Aruch says, we celebrate on this day. Why? Because again, the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. Of course, again, you have to know what the rest of that means, is they stopped dying because there was no one else to die. They all died out by the 33rd day of the Omer. The plague stopped. So that's the Shulchan Aruch. And the Mi'iri. The Prichadash, on the other hand, the Prichadash says, no, that's not the reason for the Simcha. The reason for the Simcha is we don't celebrate over the cessation of death. What we celebrate, says the Prichadash, is the fact that what? Is the fact that Rabbi Akiva had the resolve, had the unbreakable spirit to get back into it, to inspire future Talmidim, and to rebuild the ranks of Torah scholarship. Let's look at a second approach. Take a look at number 5. So there's another amazing Gemara Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara says the following. Now I'm picking up for you over here in the middle of a story. So the Gemara says, if you look at the middle of the first line, Diyasi Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon, V'yasiv Yehuda Ben Gerim Gabayhu. So what happened? Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon were sitting, and Rabbi Yehuda Ben Gerim was with them. Pasach Rabbi Yehuda Va'amar, Kama No'im Ma'asem Sha'umazu. See how great the Romans are. The Romans are really an incredible people. Why? Tiknu Shukim, Tiknu Gisharim, Tiknu Merchatzos. Look at everything that Rome has given us, right? They've created great marketplaces, they've created bridges, they've created bathhouses. Rabbi Yossi Shasak, Rabbi Yossi, remember this is Yehuda ben Gerim speaking. So Rabbi Yossi doesn't say anything. Na'ana Rabbi Shua Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shua Bar Yochai heard this and he said the following. He said, you think they're great? V'amar komasha tiknu lo tiknu el l'tzorech atzman. Everything the Romans do, they only do for Rome. Tiknu shukin lahoshev b'hen zonos. You know why they establish marketplaces? So that the harlots, the prostitutes, should have a place to do their business. Merchatzos, bathhouses, la'adin esatzman, to take care of their physicality. They put such an emphasis on their own physicality. Gisharim, why do they make bridges? Lito mehen meches. You know why they make bridges? To go out and collect taxes. Halach Yehuda ben Gerim, the Siper Divrayim. So what happened? Yehuda ben Gerim retold this conversation to someone. Now, I want to be clear. Yehuda ben Gerim, he wasn't doing this in order to get anyone in trouble. He was just repeating a conversation that he had with these other Rabbanim. The Nishma al-Malchus. But of course, word got back to Rome. Word got back to the Caesar. Now remember again that essentially Jewish leaders are disparaging and maligning Rome. Amru. So the Caesar said, Yehuda she'ila yis'ala. So Yehuda ben Gerim, who spoke favorably about Rome, will be lifted up. Yosi she'shasak yigalad tzipori. Yosi, Rabbi Yosi, didn't say anything. Exiled. Shimon shegina yeharik. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who spoke out against Rome, he should be executed. So now again, death sentence comes from Rome upon Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Ozel who embraced Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son. His son was a man by the name of Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, go into hiding. What happened? Tashu be midrasha. Kol yoma hava maisila devisu rifta v'kuza demaya. So they went, they hid in the base medrash. So every day, his wife, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's wife, would go ahead and bring them bread and water. Ki tokif gezerta. But then what happened? Now apparently the Caesar mobilized his forces in order to hunt down Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So what's the phrase? The net was getting tighter. Amar le librei. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said to his son, Nashim daiton kala alein. I actually meant to white out this phrase. I wouldn't have to deal with it. All right, Nashim. Now I'm going to explain this to you actually in just a very important moment. Nashim daiton kala alein. Remember, this is not a disparaging remark. He's saying that I'm scared for your mother. What's going to happen? Dibo metzarila umegal yalan. What's going to happen? I'm scared what they're going to do to your mother. Because it could be the Romans, remember, we're ruthless. They're going to take your mother, they're going to torture her. And she's going to have no choice but to reveal our whereabouts. Azlu tasha b'ma'arta. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar go to hide in a cave. Israchish Nisa, a miracle occurred. Ivrilu charuva ve'inu demayo. So a miracle occurred, a carob tree, which to us does not sound like a miracle, but that's because, again, we're used to the gullus boxer. That if you ever have a real carob is actually a real edible fruit. So a carob tree sprung up in a demaya, a spring of water. V'hav mishalchi menayu. V'hav yasi atzav raya b'chala kul yama garsi b'idan tzuli lavu shemichsei umatzlu v'hadr mishalchi menayu. Okay, keichidol livlu isufay. So the Gemara then goes on to talk about the idea that, again, they were sustained by the water, they were sustained by the carob tree. The Gemara talks about how they used to bury themselves up to their neck in sand in order not to have to wear their clothing all of the time, out of fear that their clothing was going to wear out. Bottom line, go to paragraph Gimel. Esvu chaser chaser shani b'marta. For 12 years, they were in the cave. Asa Elia v'kama pischa d'marta. See, Elia Hanavi comes to the entranceway of the cave and he says, Amar man lo de la bar Yochai demis keser ubasel gezerte. Who, say Eliyahu HaNavi says, in a cryptic fashion, who is going to tell Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Caesar has died, and therefore his edicts have been voided. I guess the way it worked with the Caesar is whenever the Caesar died, any death sentences that he had put upon people were automatically commuted. So Eliyahu HaNavi says, essentially, you could come out. Nafku chazu inshi dika karchi vizari. So you have to understand something. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar were just in holy seclusion for the last 12 years. They did nothing but learn and daven the entire time and were sustained miraculously through the direct hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they come out, they reintegrate into the world, and they don't know how to reintegrate. They see people working their fields, and they say, Amru manichin chaye olam va'oskin b'chaye shah. How could it be that people set aside spiritual pursuits in order to engage in a livelihood? Meaning they can't be mastic, they can't understand what people are doing. You have to understand, this is because they were sequestered, they were away from the world for 12 years. They were kula kadosh, they were totally involved in holiness. So they can't reintegrate, they can't understand how people are setting aside spiritual pursuits in order to take care of livelihood. Komakom shenostin elein miyad nisraf. Wherever they looked, wherever Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Elazar looked, they automatically destroyed. Whatever that means, we're just going to take it at face value right now. Yotza Sabasko va'amr lohem, lahachariv olami yotzasem. Sabasko, the heavenly voice came out and said, Do you think I took you out of the cave to destroy my world? Chizru lema'araschem. Go back to the cave. Now, when they first went to the cave 12 years ago, it was to escape the Caesar. Now they're being banished to the cave by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hadr azal esvu treisa yarchei shasa. They go to the cave for another 12 years. Amru, Amri, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mishpat Rishon Begehenem Yud Beis Chodesh. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai realizes what he's done. He said, Bono Shel Olam, even if a person Chas V'Shalom goes to Gehenem, after 120, the longest time a person has to spend in Gehenem is 12 months. So we've been here already for such a long time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let us out. Yotzei Sabaskal V'Amra, Tzumi Ma'araschem. So a heavenly voice came out and said to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Elazar, leave the cave. Nafku, paragraph Dalet, Nafku. Listen to this. So Rabbi Elazar, the son, was still very harif. He was still very sharp and still very passionate and idealistic. And he still could not accept the fact that people would not devote themselves totally to spirituality. So wherever he looked, he would destroy. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would heal. Literally, the Gemara says, whatever Rabbi Elazar destroyed, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would heal. Right? Again, this is always the interesting balance between, I'm not going to call it old age, I'm going to call it maturity, thank you. Right, between maturity and youth. So, you know, youth is all idealistic, and idealism is wonderful, but idealism must always be tempered by a realistic outlook on life. So Rabbi Elazar is still idealistic. He can't believe that people will go ahead and engage in anything material. Life has to be all about the ruchnius. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, a little bit more tempered and mature, understands that there's a balance. So whatever Rabbi Elazar, so to speak, destroyed, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai healed. Look how the Gemara ends off. The Gemara says, Amar lo, b'ni, dai li olam ani va'ata. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says to his son, my son, not everybody has to be like us. You and I, we devote ourselves totally to spirituality. You and I can sustain the world with our merit. People have to go about their regular lives. Listen to this. Bahadi panya demali shabsa. It was on one Erev Shabbos. Chazau saba dahavanaki trei ma'ani asa v'rat bin ashmashas. So they saw an old man who was carrying two bundles of myrtle branches. And he was running home. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Elazar's son, they say to the old man, why are you carrying the bundles? Why are you carrying the myrtles? Amar lehula kavod Shabbos. I want to bring the beautiful, the fragrant myrtle branches to my house on Shabbos. You know, some have the custom. Some have the custom. You have it by Sfardim and by Chasidim to make borei atzei besamim, not just by Havdalah, but at the onset of Shabbos as well. Tadafka smel besam at the onset of Shabbos. This Gemara actually is one of the makoros for that, one of the sources. So he says, I'm bringing the myrtles home for the fragrant smell for Kavod Shabbos. So they tell him, v'tiskilecha b'chad. So why do you need two bundles? One bundle should be enough. And the old man responds, chad keneged zachar, v'chad keneged shamar. And the old man responded, one bundle is for Zohar, one bundle is for Shamar. Remember, the Torah uses two different words, talking about the mitzvah of Shabbos. Zohar, remember the Shabbos. Remember the Shabbos. Ultimately, Shamar, keep the Shabbos. Therefore, I have one bundle for Shahar, one bundle for Zohar. So look what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai turns to his son. And he says, Amar lei lebrei, chazi kama chavivin mitzvos al Yisrael. So he said to his son, you see, look how good people are. Look how wonderful Jews are. Look how much Klal Yisrael loves mitzvos. That this old man is running all around, coming back with two bundles. He didn't have to do this at all. And if he was going to do it, he could have just done it with one bundle. But he wants two bundles. Why? Zohar v'shamar. See how much Klal Yisrael loves mitzvos. Yosef datayu. At this point in time, both father and son were able to accept Klal Yisrael as they were. Why is this story important? If you look at the Aruch HaShulchan in number 6, he writes, Yatza mehama'ara biyom hazeh. Listen to how amazing this is. Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Medrash that says that when did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar leave the cave? Leave the cave the second time, not the first time. When did they leave the cave the second time to come back to integrate into society? Aruch HaShulchan writes, Lag Ba'omer. The 33rd day of the Omer is that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar left the cave. Now the obvious question becomes, what's the significance? Meaning, Who cares? I mean, it's an interesting calendrical fact, But what does that matter? And why Dafka did it occur on Lag BaOmer? Because remember again, we know about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai on Lag BaOmer, but for a different reason. If you take a look at number 7, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes the same Medrash that says, Omrim shenestalik biyom zeh. Meaning Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, his identity is very much intertwined with Lag BaOmer, but not usually because people associate it as the day that he left the cave. Why do people associate Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai with Lag BaOmer? Why? His yard site. And the Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Medrash that we have a story of a tradition that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai died on the 33rd day of the Omer. So you'll ask yourself again, but why would we celebrate a yard site? You know, this is also very interesting that in different circles, yard sites are commemorated in different ways. So some, now again, technically speaking, a yard site is a celebratory day. Because the yard site is day every year on that anniversary of death, we believe that the neshama reaches a higher level in Shamayim. And that is cause for celebration. Very often what it does is it reopens old scars. People feel the pain of loss again. So sometimes it's painful for us, but it is a day of celebration, absolutely, for the neshama. But not necessarily making it into a yom tov. So what happened on the day that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai died that made it into such a yom tov? So take a look at number 8. And we're going to tie this all together. I know we're throwing out a lot of stuff at once. But look at number 8. So this is from a sefer. He quotes in the footnote over here from the Zohar. Lamadnu. This is a quote from the Zohar Chelek Gimel. So it's in 8th Aleph. Lamadnu ba'osium shel Rabbi Shimon ratzo listalik mina olam. Listen to this. We're not going to read this whole thing, but it's amazing. On the day that Rabbi Shimon realized that he was going to leave this world, v'haya mistantar devarav. He was organizing his words. Nis'asfu ha'chaveirim eitzu Rabbi Shimon v'hayu lefan Rabbi Lozer b'no Rabbi Lov v'Rabbi Abu shar chaveirim. Now you have to understand something very interesting. So if you look throughout the Gemara, whenever the Gemara talks about great people dying, so we assume that today, if a person, you know, Rahman al-Islam is dying, so who are they surrounded by? Hopefully by their family. And if you look throughout the Gemara, it's very interesting that when great Rabban and Tanam and Amoraim were dying, they were not surrounded by their family. In fact, often the family was on the periphery. Who are they surrounded by? They are surrounded by their Talmidim, by their students. Now, why is that? So you have to understand that once upon a time, Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law, was in fact oral, which means it was not committed to writing. So this fear was that when a Rebbe was going to die, any Torah that he had not shared with his Talmidim would go with him to the grave. Therefore, again, Talmidim often huddled around the bed of the Rebbe so that if the Rebbe in his last few moments would have anything else to share with the Talmidim, they'd be able to get those last morsels of Torah from their Rebbe. So here the Zohar describes, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is going to die. So who's around him? His son, Rabbi Abba, and all the other Talmidei Chachamim. Listen to this. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Hine ata shas ratzonhi. Now is a very auspicious time. Paragraph base. He says, I want to come to the world to come without any embarrassment. The truth is, it's a very important phrase. That's how we all want to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu after 120, without busha, without embarrassment. And there are certain holy things that I have not revealed until now. I want to reveal in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shelo yomar shebichisar nistakalti min ha'olam va'ad atar hayu nistarim b'libi kidei likhanis ben ha'olam haba. So listen to this. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, what I'm concerned about now is the following. I have still have a voluminous amount of Torah that I have to share. And I have to share because if I don't share it with you now, listen to this. After 120, for him it's later on that day, when I come before the Beis Nishlamallah, they will hold me accountable for the Torah that I could have taught and I didn't teach. Isn't that amazing? That so often we're fixated after 120 of giving an accounting for their sins. And that is true. My personal feeling is our sins are the least of our problems after 120. And why is that? Because you have a very good answer for all of our sins. What's the very good answer for all of our sins? Ribbono Shel Olam, you created me human, weak and frail, right? Those frailties are what you gave me, right? You did that to me. Ribbono Shel Olam, you handicapped me. You could have left me as a malach. I would have been very happy for my neshama to remain up above. You decided to send me down here, put me in make me a physical being with all of my limitations. So Ribbono Shel Olam, you have to assume some responsibility for chet as well. It's not all my fault. You bear responsibility as well. That argument, I think, will work. I mean, don't bank on it. Don't bank on it. But I think it's a compelling and convincing argument. What's scarier is when the Ribbono Shel Olam says, fine, I'll buy that. But what about all of the things you could have done and you didn't do? What about that? What about that? And the scary part is, you know, the Ribono Shel Olam, after 120, the Zohar writes about this, after 120, shows us what our life could have been. And there's like two, if you could imagine, like Lahavdil is like a split screen. You know, on one hand, the movie of This Was Your Life is playing. And on the other screen, the movie called This Could Have Been Your Life is playing. And they're playing at the same exact time. And I have to watch what I did versus what I could have done. And that's Rav Shmuel Bar Yochai, that's the scariest thing. To have to deal with our sins, we'll deal with our sins. We're frail, we're human, we do bad things. But the notion of after 120 being shown what I could have done, and now remember, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us what we could have done, this tragic part is there's nothing I can do anymore about that. That's done. I'm sorry? That could be. It could be. It could very well be. Absolutely. Absolutely. So now, Rav Shmuel Bar Yochai therefore says, I have all of this Torah that I have to give to you, and I have to give it to you on this day because I can't enter into the Olam HaEmes with this incredible amount of Torah that I never gave to my students. So what happens? Rabbi Abba, so here, V'kachami Mesader Oschem. This is what Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai said. He says, I'm going to give you a Seder. Rabbi Abba Yichtov. Rabbi Abba, you are the secretary. You write down. You're the scribe. You write down everything I say. Rabbi Elazar Yimol Bepeh. Rabbi Elazar, you concentrate on remembering, on listening to every single word that I'm saying and concentrating on it. Ushara Chachamim Midovu Belibam. And the other scholars who are arranged, who are here, review these words in your heart. Acher Shegila Letamido Es Idrazuta. Ne'emar Sham Am Rabbi Abba Lo Gamar Hamar HaKodesh Lomar Chaim. So at this point, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai reveals to them what becomes known as the Idra Zuta. The Idra Zuta is the first part of the Zohar. He reveals to them mystical. Now again, I want to be clear on something. We often associate Jewish mysticism with Kabbalah. And Kabbalah we often associate with the Ari HaKadosh. And we'll discuss the Ari in just a little bit. So we often associate Jewish mysticism with Lurianic Kabbalah. Lurianic Kabbalah, of course, is later on in history. Not so much later on, it's the 1300s, 1400s. So now, again, remember, this is much earlier. This is much, much earlier. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai was the first one who revealed what we call Jewish mysticism, what we call the Zohar. That comes from Shmuel Bar Yochai, the Idra Zuta. If you skip down a little bit, he says, skip down. Ka'osayom, it's right by paragraph Dalet. Ka'osayom lo nifsaka ish min habayis. If you could imagine this scene. Rav Shmuel Bar Yochai is talking non-stop the entire day. The words of Torah are just simply flowing out of his mouth non-stop. Rabbi Elazar writes, Rabbi Elazar's son, remember, so Rabbi Abba's writing down everything incredibly fast. Rabbi Elazar is supposed to be remembering it. Rabbi Elazar says, I don't understand. I can't retain the words. I can't retain. You can imagine this. I can't. Rabbi Elazar was a very smart man. I can't retain the words. Why couldn't he retain the words? Because what he was hearing were words of Torah that were so holy and so pure that they were difficulty retaining them within a human vessel. So he said, I kept on repeating, but for whatever the reason, I could not remember them. That's why Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai realized this is going to happen. That's why he commands Rabbi Abba to write down everything. So that entire day, the entire home was engulfed in fire, spiritual fire. Rabbi Elazar says that there were times when the experience became so overwhelming that I literally just fell down on the ground. Listen to this. He says, after the fire left, and this is the son talking about his father. Again, on the 33rd day of the last year of Shmuel Bar Yochai's life, when the fire departed from the home, Ra'isiyas Hama'or HaKadosh. HaKadosh. I saw the holy fire. The holy fire is referring to as his father. Kodesh HaKadoshim Nistalek Min Ha'olam. And I saw that as soon as my father stopped speaking, the fire left the home, and the true fire, my father left this world as well. He was laying in his bed, laying on his right side, and he had a smiling countenance. This was the last day of Rav Shmuel Bar Yochai's life in this world. So now we understand that Rav Shmuel Bar Yochai's life, his death, is exceptionally significant because, again, it was the day in which he revealed what we call Torah's Hanister. He revealed ultimately to his students the hidden dimension of Torah, the Panemius, the soul of Torah, what becomes known first as the Idra Zuta, later on known as the Zohar, and of course later on morphs into Kabbalah. All part of Jewish mysticism, all begins, all revealed on this last day of his life. But again, the question still remains, so why is this a source of simcha? I understand an incredibly significant day. So remember again, just follow our chain of events over here. Remember, we had our first two approaches already, the Shulchan Aruch, the Pri Chadash. Then we have again the Aruch HaShulchan telling us that this Lag B'Omer is the day that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Lazar left the Ma'ara. What's the significance of that? We put that on the side. Then we also pointed out that this is the day Lag B'Omer is the day that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai died. What's the significance about the day that he died? It's the day that he revealed Torah's Hanister, hidden Torah, to everyone. But again, why is this cause for celebration? So now I want to share with you something amazing. Take a look at number 9. I want to share with you a magnificent piece by Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. We're not going to do this whole piece. I put a lot more on the sheet here than what we're going to cover, but I want to share with you some pieces. Rabbi Nachman says something amazing. Rabbi Nachman says, "V'zeh bechinas tamidi Rabbi Akiva, shemesu ben Pesach l'artar semeyas sfira." So Rabbi Nachman says, let's go back and examine this dynamic of the students of Rabbi Akiva, who died between Pesach and Shavuos during the days of Sira. Kihem hayut tzadikim gidolim. They were very righteous. Remember, you have to understand something, that in general, one always has to be careful how they judge and how they look at great people. Rabbi Akiva's students were the spiritual elite. So when it says lo nagu kavod zeh lazeh, they weren't nice to each other. So that has to mean something deeper. What was their destiny? The destiny of these students was to take the beautiful and holy Torah of the Rebbe Rabbi Akiva and to spread it to the entire world. And their Rebbe Rabbi Akiva, Shahayu Kimo Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Akiva was like Moshe Rabbeinu. Kimuva b'sfarim ala pasuk, v'lo kam navi od kimoshe. Navi lo kam, aval chacham kam. Look at the Sfarim right, quoting from the Zohar. The Zohar writes, it's true, there was never another prophet like Moshe, but there were other scholars like Moshe. Who was another scholar like Moshe Rabbeinu? Umanu Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, which meant, understand what the Zohar is saying, what Rabbi Nachman is saying. So just like Moshe is known as Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe's greatest accomplishment in life was that he was a Rebbe, is that he taught Torah to the masses. Rabbi Akiva was another Moshe Rabbeinu. And it was Rabbi Akiva's job to teach Torah to the masses, and it was the job of those masses to go out and disseminate the Torah of their Rebbe. Paragraph base. The Ikra Pegam Shatamid Rabbi Akiva. Listen to this. Rabbi Nachman says, so what was their mistake? So what did they do so wrong? Get ready. Shalohaisa beinehem ahava v'hischabros. They didn't love each other. They didn't love each other. What Rabbi Nachman says, shalona, see, we often think shalona gukava zelazeh means what? Means what? They weren't nice to each other. Or they spoke lashana about each other. Some say they weren't nice. Rabbi Nachman says, no, they probably were very nice. They probably were very nice. And they probably were exceptionally cordial. So what was their mistake? They didn't love each other. They didn't love one another. There wasn't ahava v'hischabros. There wasn't a sense of love, a sense of connection, a sense of responsibility for the other. Kimo shomer b'sin zichron levracha. Kihem hayu tzrichin laham shich Torah, ulatakin simtzumim v'kelim, sheyizku kol Yisrael akabel or ha'in sov k'roi, says Rabbi Nachman, something so amazing. If Rabbi Akiva is essentially like a second Moshe Rabbeinu, then that means Rabbi Akiva has to give the Torah to his Talmidim, and it's his job of his Talmidim to take that Torah and to spread it across the world. To take that Torah and then to go on to inspire their own Talmidim. Ki ayide kol os v'dibor uparsha Torah kedosha, v'ayide kol halacha, na'as es kelim mitzimtzumim lekabal ara insof. Because the amazing part is, you know, what's the whole idea of Torah? Torah is not an ends. Torah is not an ends. What is Torah is a means. What is Torah a means for? This is very important. Torah is a means for a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah is a means for Dveikus. You know what the Medrash calls? You know what the Medrash calls? Medrash calls Torah. I mentioned this before. Medrash calls the Torah Bito Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah is the daughter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, I'm privileged to have four daughters. And I know that I am exceptionally protective of my daughters. Exceptionally protective of them. And Amir Tzashem, B'sha Tova, when they grow up and they get married, so Amir Tzashem, my sons-in-law, will know that I will always be watching them. Right? Because again, because my daughter is my daughter, I love my sons as well, Baruch Hashem, but everyone who has daughters know that there's a different sense of achrayis, different sense of responsibility that a parent feels for a daughter than a parent feels for a son. Just different because boys and girls are just fundamentally different. The idea says that Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Torah is my daughter, which means I gave her to you. I gave her to you. This is what the Medrash says. I gave her to you, but I don't really want to give her to you because I really would like her to stay with me because I love my daughter. But I know that my daughter will be happier with you than she will be with me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the daughter doesn't want to live in the house forever. She wants to get out, and she wants to do things that she wants to accomplish. And I know that my daughter could accomplish a lot more with you, with Klal Yisrael, down on earth, than my daughter will accomplish with me up in Shemayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving her to you, but I'm watching you. I'm giving her to you, but you must love her, you must take care of her, you must nurture her, you must put her on a pedestal, you must give her incredible kavod, you must take care of her, that like she is the malka, like she is the queen, that she truly is. Says Rabbi Nachman, when we're able to learn Torah, when we're able to disseminate Torah, that creates a love between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah is the medium. Torah is the medium that brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Talmud Torah is so important. Talmud Torah, learning is not an end. Learning is a means. When you learn Torah, what you are doing is you are dialoguing, you are connecting with the daughter of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when you access HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the daughter, that ultimately is such a deep, profound and meaningful connection. Rabbi Nachman goes on, paragraph Gimel. Va'apegam shalohem. So this is what the Talmid and Rabbi Akiva were supposed to do. They were supposed to disseminate Torah to the masses. They were supposed to bring people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what was the mistake? Shalohaya behem ava. There was no love between the students. Ki letakin hatzimtzumim ulahamshich or ha'insof ba'adar gokaroi. Says Rabbi Nachman something amazing. But the only way for Torah to have a true impact on Klal Yisrael is how? Is if there's love between Jewish people. It's only if we love each other does Torah have an impact on us. If we don't love each other, is Torah meaningful? Of course Torah is meaningful. It's very helpful. It tells us how to live. It tells us what to do. It tells us what we should engage in, what we should avoid. But if I want to use Torah as a vehicle, as a mechanism, to create a love affair with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to create love above, there must be love below. There must be love within Klal Yisrael in order to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Kitzrichin Lazeh Kelim Rabim, She'afshari She'taknu Kiyim Aydi Kama V'Kama Alafim Nishamos. Because in order to create the passionate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't do it alone, you can't do it alone, but if we come together biyachad, we're able to pull our collective spiritual resources, and together we can create a love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shemischabrim yachad bi'ava ki ish echad, ad sheyucha l'ka ba'adar k'roi, skip down paragraph, dalit, v'yalkein, lo nitna Torah, ad sheniskabtsu shishim revo yachad bi'ava. Therefore, again, interestingly enough, we know, coming up on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, Torah was only given how? Only when there was a sense of achdus and love among Klal Yisrael. Remember, what does the Torah say? Rabbi Nachman quotes the Pasuk. It says, Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ha'har. The Pasuk says that Klal Yisrael camped opposite the mountain. And remember, again, it uses the singular Vayichan as opposed to Vayachanu, which would have been the plural. They camped, plural. It says Vayachan, he camped. Why? So Rashi quotes a measure that says, Ki ish echad belev echad. With one person, one heart. And Rabbi Nachman understands that to mean, not simply that they weren't arguing with each other, but what? There was a profound sense of love throughout the ranks of the Jewish people. My Rebbe often said that, you know, the Medrash doesn't say, Ki ish echad bedeya echad. It doesn't say one people with one opinion, because lo haya v'lo yiyah, right? There's no such thing as Jews having one opinion. But here's the amazing part. You could have differences of opinion. You could have dramatic differences of opinion, but you could still love your fellow Jew. Differences of opinion, differences of approach are not exclusive, or do not exclude the ability to love one another. This is Rabbi Nachman. Why do you think Sinaitic revelation was so intense? It's because we were in love with each other. So when ultimately, again, Klal Yisrael is in love with one another, and there's an achdus here, and we're able to pool our spiritual resources, that's when we're really able to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's when there's Ahava below, that's when ultimately, again, we're able to establish Ahava above. L'chin Amru, skip down a little bit. He says, V'hari she'el Yisrael chaserim ki yashol ha'amshich b'chinas ha'shoas ha'shchina, shu'eskal ha'salikuse, ela ayde kibuz nefashos rabos l'Yisrael. So let's stop here for just a moment. Says Rabbi Nachman, we now understand what the sin of the students of Rabbi Akiva really was that they Susie, was it that they didn't like each other? Or they didn't get along with each other? Rabbi Nachman says, no, it doesn't make sense, considering where they were holding, it doesn't make sense to say that they were just speaking Lashon Hara, or they were just nasty. But rather, says Rabbi Nachman, it was something much more profound. They respected each other. They were nice for one another. They held the door for each other. They offered the other one the bigger slice of pizza, you know, whatever it is, however you wanted the term niceness. They didn't love each other. And you know, you can be very nice and civil and cordial to someone with absolutely no internal feeling towards them. They didn't love each other. And says Rabbi Nachman, well, here's the problem. If you don't love each other, then you can't be proper disseminators of Torah. Because to be a disseminator, to be a Rebbe, to be a conveyor or a purveyor or a teacher of Torah, so you have to be the kind of person that is going to give over Torah in a way that brings a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the only way that Torah brings a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is how? Is if there's a love within Klal Yisrael. So if you are not part of the perpetuation of love of Klal Yisrael, then you are the antithesis of love of Klal Yisrael. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So if you are not a person who actively promotes Ava, love within Klal Yisrael, then by definition, you are not doing your part to bring Klal Yisrael closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, again, Rabbi Nachman says, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva have abdicated the responsibility. They can't disseminate Torah to Klal Yisrael if they don't love each other. And therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, they're all wiped out. Yes?
Moshe Rabbeinu had the partner of Aharon, and Aharon was the Ahava, was Rabbi Akiva supposed to have some?
So I would argue with that, and I would just say Moshe Rabbeinu was also Ava. Moshe Rabbeinu was Kulo Ava. Just Moshe Rabbeinu's Ava expressed itself as Din. Remember, the proof to that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to destroy Klal Yisrael, it's not Aaron who argues on their behalf, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the greatest, it's the greatest self, it's the greatest love. So Moshe Rabbeinu, people think he's just Din and not Ava. No. He's Ava as expressed as Din, but it's Kulo Ava. You can't be a Moshe Rabbeinu if you don't love Klal Yisrael. Now, you're asking good, which is there some deficiency in Rabbi Akiva that all of this happened? We're not going to go there this time. Maybe next year, Meretz Hashem in Yerushalayim. So let me just finish this. So now, yeah.
Let me ask a short question. How do we know that they didn't love each other?
Because Rabbi Nachman just told us. This is his approach in this. He understands Shlonogu Kavod Zelazeh cannot mean simple kavod, cannot mean Darach Eretz. It doesn't make sense.
Does it mean that they were jealous of each other?
Some interpret it that way. Rabbi Nachman is choosing not to interpret it that way. It's a chiddush. I want to be clear. This is Rabbi Nachman's novel idea, meaning you don't have to believe it and you could still be an excellent Jewess. No question about that. You do not have to believe it. I choose to believe it because I think that Rabbi Nachman is saying over here something that is life-altering. So let me just finish this point. So go to paragraph Hey. Therefore, says Rabbi Nachman, V'ikra tikus. Now let's play this out. So remember again, students of Rabbi Akiva die because of Nogel Kavod Zelazeh. There's not a love. And when there's no love, you can't disseminate Torah. And when there's no love and you can't disseminate Torah, there's no relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Bon Shalom says, Rabbi Nachman essentially says to Rabbi Akiva, what do I need these Talmidim for? If these Talmidim are not going to be proper disseminators of Torah, can't love each other, can't love Klal Yisrael, then what is their purpose? And wipes them out. Says Rabbi Nachman, paragraph Hey, V'ikr HaTikun. Haya al yidei Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai v'chaverov. Who was the one who was metakin? Who was the one who somehow rectified this lack of love expressed by the students of Rabbi Akiva? It was Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and v'chaverov, and others. Meaning the others include Rabbi Lozer and others who were there that day on his final day in this earth. Shnei Amar, say skip down a little bit. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Asik Bazeh Bayoser, Letakin at Sinsuma Niska Lael, Letakin, paragraph Vav, turn the page, Letakin Mechina Sakilim, Lahamshich Ara Insov, the Galas Alakusab Olam. Because says Rabbi Nachman something amazing. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, when he expressed the tenets of the Zohar, when he expressed the tenets of the Idra Zuta, what is the number one principle in Jewish mysticism? I'm not expecting anyone to know this. I don't know it either. I just know it because I researched this a little bit. Right? The number one principle in Jewish mysticism is, I'm going to show you, take a look at number 10. We're going to skip a little bit. So this is amazing. Look what he writes. So one of the major mitzvahs that was emphasized by the Mikubalim of Tzvat, and it's not just Tzvat, it was Mikubalim in general. The Mikubalim write that the Iker mitzvah is that you have to know how to love people. And this applies to every single Jew. If big, small, afa poshi Yisrael, even sinners, vigoyim, and even to Gentiles. Mitzvah zu nege be'ikar bein b'nei chaburo shel mikubalim, va'af mitzuyim biyadinu shteri his kashrus shonim bahem, nispata achva va'achlos. Listen to this. In the early mikubalim, many of them would write relationship contracts with one another. And what relation? It almost will sound like nuptials. I agree to love you. Right? I agree to love you unconditionally. Even if you wrong me, even if you hurt me. I don't know if it's like until death do us part, whatever it is. But the idea is they used to write behavioral contracts with each other to solidify the love they had for one another. So remember again, the greatest of our mikubalim throughout the ages was the Ari. Look what the Ari HaKadosh wrote. Kodem sha adam yisader tfilasa bevei sakneses. Mi parshas ha-akidah ve'eloch. Look what the Arizal says. When you start your day, before you even daven, the first thing you have to do is tzarech shiyekabel alav mitzvas v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha. The first thing a Jew has to do every single day, even before you talk to God, is accept upon yourself the mitzvah of loving your fellow Jew. And a person has to agree to love every single Jew like he loves himself. Because if you love every person, then you know what? When you daven, your tefillah doesn't ascend on high by itself, but your tefillah is interwoven with the tefillos of all of Klal Yisrael. Exactly what Rabbi Nachman was saying before, that what love does is love pools spiritual resources. Pri. Your tefillos could go up and could have impact and effect. Ubefrat avas chaver ma'oskim b'torah b'yachad. And the Ari goes on. He says, if you've ever had the schus to visit the kever of the Ari HaKadosh in Tzfas, in the old cemetery in Tzfas, so you'll notice again, there's no great inscription on the Ari's kever. It doesn't say, this was the Ari, the great this, he was born here. You know what it says on the grave of the Ari? I'm going to quote you the inscription. The inscription reads, this is what the Ari had commanded to have written on his matzeva. Tov lekabel alav le'ehov kol adam Yisrael. It is good to accept upon yourself to love every single Jew. Lifnei atfila, you should accept this upon yourself. You should accept this upon yourself every single day before davening. V'yomar zos b'leiv shalim. You should say with a complete heart, Hareini mekabel alai mitzvas asei shaviyahafta v'reiacha kamocha. The Ari HaKadosh writes every single day, I should be makabel upon myself the mitzvah of v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha, to love my fellow as I love myself. So says Rabbi Nachman, now we understand, Rabbi Nachman actually quotes this, I didn't read this to you, but he says, if you look at paragraph Zion, just for one moment, v'al kein nistalik Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai b'lag ba'omer, therefore Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, when he dies on lag ba'omer, v'noagin be'eretz Yisrael la'asos simcha gedola behilula delay, and especially in Eretz Yisrael, there's incredible simcha that accompanies this day, malich ora ha'yirai lifkosu li'tzitar ma'od al'estak luso. We should mourn this day. It's a sad day. We lost Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai on this day. Says Rabbi Nachman, ach bevadai minag Yisrael Torah, ki kol ha'simcha hi mashe zachinu shayet tzadik v'kadosh kazeh. Rabbi Nachman goes on to say, do you know how we celebrate this day? Because Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai gave us the secret, gave us the recipe for being successful Jews and having a meaningful, beautiful, and intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what is that secret? It's the very cornerstone of all Jewish mysticism, the very cornerstone of the Zohar, the very cornerstone of Kabbalah, which is Hareini mekabel al atzmi mitzvas asei v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha. Therefore, says Rabbi Nachman, that's why we celebrate the death. We're not celebrating the death of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. What we're celebrating, as you saw in the Zohar, is what? That on this day, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai had no choice but to reveal all of that beautiful Torah that was hidden within his heart. On that day, he had no choice but to give over all of this information because he was going to go to the next world. They didn't want to take it with him. It was that day that he taught us that the secret to spiritual success, the secret to having a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha, is loving one another, respecting one another, accepting one another. Now let's tie this full circle. You remember again what the Aruch HaShulchan quoted the Medrash back in number 6. And the Aruch HaShulchan said, what else happened on this day of Lag BaOmer? Not just Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai died, but what else happened? What else happened? They left the cave. Remember, we asked, what's significant about that? What happens when they leave the cave? What happens when they left the cave? So Rabbi Elazar says, I can't believe people are doing this. And then what does Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai tell his son? What does he tell his son? What does he tell his son? Something hopefully we tell our children all the time. You have to learn to accept people where they are holding. You have to learn to love people for who they are, not for what you want them to be. It's a Labor Day morning this morning. You have to go ahead. You have to go ahead and learn to appreciate and accept people for what they are able to accomplish. So often in life, we hold people to our own standards. We hold people to what we think they should be. We think what they should do. And the truth is, sometimes that's good. Sometimes you have to hold people to higher standards to get them to accomplishment. But the mitzvah of Yahavtu Recha Kamocha is not predicated on someone living like me, being like me, or believing like me. The mitzvah of Yahavtu Recha Kamocha is the ability to just accept people for who they are. So Rabbi Elazar comes out of the cave and he's mamish destroying everything because he says to himself, I can't believe people are living like this. They're giving up incredible spiritual bliss to farm a field. It's ridiculous. They're wrong. They're sinners. They're all these other things. Rabbi Yochai says, listen, my son, you do what you need to do, but learn to love, respect, and honor the other, even if they are not living the way you think they should live. Even if they're not doing what you think they should do, even if they're not living up to the expectations you think they should have for themselves or you have of them. That's Yahavtu Recha Kamocha. So in essence, what the Medrash is really saying over here, it's really one and the same. That the day Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai left the cave was the day ultimately that he taught his son this lesson of that the primary mitzvah that we have in order to accomplish everything else is Yahavtu Recha Kamocha. And on the day that he died and he revealed the Idrazuta, the Torah Sanistar, was the day that he taught this lesson to all of his students as well. They're really one in the same. So if we bring this all together, what we have over here is the following. Trying to understand the deeper meaning, and with this we're going to end because I know we're already over, the deeper meaning of Lag BaOmer. What ultimately comes out is we see five different approaches. Number one, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's the day in which the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. Pre-Chadash, it's the day ultimately again that Rabbi Akiva had the spiritual wherewithal, the inner ability, the strength to be able to continue to rebuild and to educate another five students. We then saw again, it's the day in which he left the cave with Rabbi Lazar, his son, or it's the day in which he died. But the bottom line, says Rabbi Nachman, is that the greatness of Lag BaOmer is that this was the day thousands of years ago that the Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai taught us a very important lesson. I want to be clear. You should know Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is not the first person to teach us this lesson. Who taught us this lesson even earlier? Hillel. Hillel was the first one to teach this. The Gemara brings it down with the ger, right? The person who wants to convert. And he says to Rabbi Akiva, he says to Hillel, teach me kol haTorah kula while standing on one foot. And what does Hillel say? Madasani alach lechaver chalo sabid. That which you don't want done to you, don't do to someone else. I.e., v'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. I'm going to take your question later. V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha, right? He says, that's the ikar. Everything else, zil gemor. Everything else is perish, is just a commentary. Go and learn it afterwards. But the ikar ultimately is v'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. So, okay, Hillel said it. Maybe not a lot of people paid attention. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says it again and says it in a dramatic way by laying it as the foundation ultimately again for Jewish mysticism. So what do we celebrate on? What do we celebrate on Lag BaOmer? What do we celebrate on this day? What we celebrate is, you know, sometimes we ask ourselves, like, how do I become spiritually successful? Like, how do I become a successful Jew? I should do this, I should do that. And the truth is, different stages in life require different answers to that question. But there is one basic core answer that applies to every single man, woman, and child. If you want to be a successful Jew, we have to be mitzuyonim, not just average, not just okay, but we have to be excellent in the mitzvah of v'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. We have to become excellent in our ability to love every single Jew, whether they're like us, not like us, believe like us, practice like us, more from, less from. It doesn't make a difference. A Jew is my brother, a Jew is my sister, and by definition, it's not just enough to respect. This is the amazing part. It's not just enough to be cordial. It's not just enough to not to throw rocks. It's not just enough to go ahead and you know, refrain from saying something negative. I have to love. I have to work on myself to be able to feel that sense of love for the other. And if we're able to do that, what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai taught his Talmidim, what Rabbi Nachman taught his Talmidim was, if we're able to do that, if we're able to love one another, then you know what happens? Suddenly our souls become intertwined. When the souls of Klal Yisrael become intertwined, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no choice but to dialogue with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no choice but to get involved with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no choice but to interact with us. When we're as individuals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have the choice, talk, not talk, But when we're in love with each other, when there are bonds of achdus with one another, when ultimately, again, each and every one of us is makabel at the beginning of each and every day, then there is no telling what we could accomplish. There's no telling, ultimately, the beautiful, intimate relationship we could establish with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should hope that however we're celebrating Lag BaOmer, whatever people are doing, a bonfire, not a bonfire, a barbecue, a car, however it is, right? Often we know that the physical celebrations are the least important part of the yontiv. What really matters most about the yontiv is that we take the message. All of us. It doesn't matter how much of a balas chesed someone is, how wonderful. All of us could be better on our behalf to Echa Kamocha. All of us could be more tolerant of other individuals. All of us could be nicer to other individuals. All of us could find ways to go out of our way a little bit more for the other. And in Meretz Hashem, we should be zocha that the same way that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, because he was teaching the mitzvah of Yachad Echa Kamocha, their whole home was illuminated with fire, illuminated with light. We should be zocha that in Meretz Hashem, in the zechus of our newfound commitment to this mitzvah of Yachad Echa Kamocha, that we should fill our lives with light. We should fill the lives of others with light. Most importantly, we should fill the world with light. And we should be zocha that in Meretz Hashem, you know, the Sfarim write that Lag BaOmer is also... Did I say something already?
No, but,
you're getting ready. Okay. So, okay. A little bit intimidating. Okay, so we should be zocha Meretz Hashem, that we should be zocha to fill this world with light. And halavai, in the merit of the light of V'yahavtir Echa Kamocha that we will generate, halavai Lag BaOmer and all of our Yamim Tovim should become part of a new spectrum of Yamim Tovim, Yam Tovim of Mashiach, Yam Tovim where we really feel an achdus because we're brought together by what makes us so special. We feel an achdus because we're connected not just to one another, but we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And halavai, it should begin on Lag BaOmer and should extend the rest of the days of our life.
My question. Why do you wait till the last day?
I don't know.